So I went to Brother Mitchell and I said, Brother Mitchell, I'm not feeling good. And he said, just do your best. And when I look into the audience, I said, well, Brother Jeremy Flowers is here, but then it seems he didn't dress for the part tonight. So I said, I am left standing alone. There's an old song that I know that says, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. And so I will not be preaching tonight as such, but I will try my best to impart some encouraging words so that when we leave here tonight, we might be more strengthened in serving God and having a renewed vigor to go on holding to the unchanging hand of our God.
Amen.
I want to, as I stand here, I remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, and woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
So tonight I will try to do my best, and I hope that we will all say at the end, it was good for us to have been here. I want to just talk to you tonight as I try to encourage you on the subject, how to deal with temptation effectively. How to deal with temptation effectively. For it has become obvious to me in my few years of preaching the gospel and dealing with people that not many Christians seem to be able to handle temptation properly or correctly. We find that when things are not going wrong, we find that members backslide. We find that members become lukewarm. We find in our lives that when things are not going the way we have planned it or wanted, that we stop praying. We stop studying the Bible. We stop taking up our cross and walk with God on a daily basis. And that is all due to the fact that we are having problems in our lives. But I want for you to know tonight that God never intended for problems to stop us from being who we are, Christians.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, there is a popular notion or a popular concept that is permeating the religious world today that says that once you are a Christian, everything is going to be all right. That your marriage is just going to be fine because it was made in heaven. There is a notion out there that says that once you become a Christian, then your mortgage will be paid. Once you become a Christian, then all heartaches and problems will all be gone because Jesus is the answer. And I'm stopped by to let you know tonight that Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that we will not have problems.
Amen. Amen.
We will have problems, and we need to know how to deal with problems when they come into our lives effectively. And there are several principles I want to lay down, and I hope that you will find them very helpful and encouraging. And the first one that I want for us to recognize and to accept is the very fact that once you become a child of God, everything will never, ever go right all the time.
Yes, sir.
There will be problems, and it is a fact that we must learn to accept, not just with our lips, but with our hearts.
Yeah.
Problems are some things that we must look forward to, for the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 that the devil is like what? A roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may what? Devour. You see, once you are within the control of the devil, he doesn't bother you. For you never chase a bus that you're already riding.
That's right.
But once you get away from Satan, he's going to see to it that you have problems. And we need to accept the fact that we are living in a real world. Yeah. In a world where everything will not go right all the time. I find that Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he left for heaven in John chapter 17 and verse number 15. Jesus says, I pray not for you, Lord, to take them out of the world. Jesus says, leave them here. And while we are here, we are going to have problems.
That's right.
The sooner we recognize that and accept that, is the better able we will be to confront and to deal with temptation. So Jesus says, leave them here. I hear the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse number 22 as he establishes church over the then world. The Bible tells us that he said to Barnabas, come, let us go back and see how those young Christians are doing and let us give them some encouragement. And in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 22, Paul says, strengthening the souls. These are young disciples, young Christian, strengthening the souls and exhorting them
to continue in the faith.
And to continue in the faith.
And saying, we must through many tribulations.
We must through much or many tribulation, what?
Enter into the kingdom of God.
I want for you to see a picture that is being painted here. Jesus said, leave them in the world. And Paul says that as long as you are in the world, the only way you are going to enter into the kingdom of God is that you must go through much tribulation. John in the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse number 14 and 15, when one of the elders came to John and says, who are these that are arrayed in white robe? And John says, sir, you know, these are they that have what? Come out of great what? Tribulation. So see the picture, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Jesus says, leave them here. Paul says, while you are here, you must go through much tribulation. And John says, you got to make the journey and complete it and come out of it. So we need to recognize that as long as we are here, we're going to have problems. Things will not always go right. And the earlier we accept that, is the better able we will be to deal with temptation. I hear the Apostle Paul in the book of Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. That all that will live godly in this life must suffer tribulation. That's what Paul says. We must suffer tribulation. And so accepting the fact, accepting the reality that we will have problems is the first step in handling our temptations effectively. The second step that we need to keep in mind is that we must be able to define what temptation is. I think that many Christians are failing because they just don't know what temptation is. And I'll try to give you a definition to help you to understand what it is and to be able to identify it when it comes. Temptation is an attempt by Satan. You got to listen to me tonight. It is an attempt by Satan. I say an attempt to get you to satisfy a legitimate need, but in the wrong way.
Amen. Yes. Are you following me tonight? Satan, you see, whatever the desires that we have, they are legitimate. They are needs, human needs. That's the way God made us. But what Satan wants is for you to satisfy that need in the wrong way. Marvin Gaye was a liar when he said that when I have this feeling, I need sexual healing. Sex is a good thing. God made us as sexual beings. But God has told us a right way in which we must satisfy our desires. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Isn't that right? That's God's way. Satan doesn't want you to satisfy it God's way. He wants you to go the wrong way. That's what temptation is. It is nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else than an attempt by Satan to get you to satisfy a legitimate need, but in the wrong way. Now, here is the punchline that we need to understand that in overcoming temptation is that if you know what you desire and you are conscious of the way in which you are going about the satisfaction of the desires, and you decide that I'm going to do it God's way, you can defeat Satan every single time. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Watch what you want, what you desire. Look at how you are going about the satisfaction of that desire, but decide to do it God's way. You can stand every single time. Isn't that right? You can stand. For I hear Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. If a brother has that, you can read it. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Paul says that we must what?
This I say then. Walk in the Spirit.
Paul says what? Walk where? In the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18, what the Bible says.
But if ye be led of the Spirit.
You must be led by. So you must walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. And in verse number 25, he says what? Verse number 25.
If we live.
Live.
In the Spirit.
So we are led by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. And we live in the Spirit. It simply means that whatever I desire, I am going to allow the Spirit of God to direct me. Let me give you a few examples.
Let us also walk by the Spirit.
Let me give you a few examples. I'm having problems financially, and I need funds to pay my mortgage, to pay my car note, to take care of the children's lunch and tuition and all of that. And the boss walks up to me and said, Johnny, I have some overtime coming up, starting next week. For the next 3 months, we're paying 2 times the rate. But you got to work on Sundays. Wrong way. Am I talking to somebody?
Yeah.
Wrong way. For the Bible has already instructed us as we walk in the Spirit, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hasn't the Bible instructed us?
Right.
It has instructed us. And when we deliberately and willingly and voluntarily decide that we are going to absent ourselves in order to make a few dollars, that's the wrong way, and we have sinned against God. And that's one of the reasons our spiritual lives are weakening, because we are not going about temptation in the right way. So it is an attempt by Satan to get you to satisfy what? A legitimate need, but in the wrong way. Watch what you desire. look or be conscious as to how you're going about the satisfaction of those desires and decide, I'm going to do it God's way. Look at Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. We know it. We don't have to read it. In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that in verse number 1, that Jesus was led up by the Spirit, where? Into the wilderness to be tempted, to do battle with Satan. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I want you to know that Satan knows you more than you know yourself. He is the greatest psychologist. He knows you. 40 days, where was he? At day 1, he was there watching. Day 2, day 20, day 39. 40 days, he knows. Listen to me. What would we say in Jamaica? White squalor bite. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been hungry to the point where you can eat an elephant? Or a cow, as we would say. Jesus was hungry. Lips were white. Fraught possible were coming out. Losing weight. And the devil came in at that particular moment. Satan knows your weakest point.
Amen.
And he's going to strike at your weakest point. You got to understand yourself and know where your weaknesses are and protect those weaknesses. You got to learn to fortify your weakness. And the Bible says, and after 40 days, he was hungry. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And he came and he said, listen to me. Turn these stones into bread. You know, many times we tell ourselves, we get ourselves in all kinds of jobs that are not conducive to Christian living.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Long time ago, Brother Mitchell preached this sermon, Must We Live?
Yeah.
Jesus was hungry. But when Satan came and said, turn these stones into bread, what did Jesus do? It is written. In other words, Jesus was prepared to die, observing the will of God.
Amen. Amen.
But he was not going to do it the wrong way.
Yes, sir.
It is written. And if we can just say, it is written. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
How do you satisfy your desires? They are legitimate. They are good. But watch how you are doing it. And we know the other three temptations that came, and each time Jesus says no. That's what temptation is. The third principle, as I try to hasten on tonight, is that we need to understand. Paul says it very nicely in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. We will stay in this verse for a while as we kind of dissect this particular verse. As we try to analyze this verse, Paul says, the third principle he gives us, there has no temptation taken man but such as is what?
Common
to man. Stop right there. Temptation is a common experience that we all face.
Yes, that's right.
It is common. My temptation may not be yours, and your temptation may not be mine.
Yes, sir.
But we all face it. And here is the punchline. If one makes it, then we all can. Do you not see that?
That's right.
If one is able to go through, then we all can. That's what Hebrews 11 is all about. The heroes of faith. By faith. By faith. It is a common experience. The next, because it is so common, we must never ever believe that our experience is so personal and unique that nobody will ever understand. Yeah. Have you ever heard Christian talk like that?
it's only because you don't understand what I'm going through. They say that in an attempt to justify their negligence. Your temptation is not so unique that nobody is able to understand. You are the only one. No, no, no. Paul says it is a common experience. Yeah. So many times you hear Christians, when you visit them because of their negligence and, you know, their absentees from this worship, they'll tell you, well, it's only because you don't understand. And sometimes they use this foolish expression that you have to walk a mile in a man's shoes to understand. Well, sometimes that may be true, but not all the time. And especially not in the many times when Christians use that expression. Because I don't have to put my finger in the fire to know that it burns.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
I can see what it does to others to understand that I ought not to do that. So we have no excuse before God not to attend the service and to execute our Christian responsibility and to take up the cross on a daily basis. No excuse, for it is a common experience. You can't talk about yours is so unique. The next thing that we see, that Paul gives us another principle, he says, to deal with temptation, he says, you got to realize that God is faithful. That 1 Corinthians 10:13, just place your eyeball on God's word and read it for yourself. Place your own eyeball on God's word and read it. Listen to what it says. There has no temptation taken man, but such as is what?
Common to man.
But he says, but
God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Yeah.
I like that.
Amen.
If you're going to deal effectively with temptation, you got to understand and focus on God. We got to learn to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to set our affection, Colossians 3 and verse 1, on things above and not things of this earth. Paul says God is faithful. You know the word, many years ago, I can't stop helping quoting Brother Mitchell, you know, because our foundation was at Patrick City. Isn't that right? And that foundation was laid very effectively. Where I preach, I quote Brother Mitchell so often that some of the members said, listen, if I hear Brother Mitchell's name one more time, I'm going to scream. That's right. In other words, God is what? Faithful. Do you know what that means? God is dependable. God is trustworthy. God is reliable. God can be taken at his word. And so as we deal with temptation, we got to realize that our focus must be on God. For he is faithful, he is reliable, he is trustworthy, he can be taken at his word. He is what? Dependable.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brother Mitchell once says, faithful is like mango season, it's plenty. Anywhere you go, you get mango. God is faithful. You got to see what Paul is doing here. What about the faithfulness of God? Because God is faithful, because God is dependable, because God is reliable, because God is trustworthy, because God can be taken at his word, then whatever he says, you can do it.
Amen. Amen.
We all know the old story that was told about the man who died, and you know, the doctor pronounced him being dead, and he was covered, and the porter was swinging him around to the morgue, and for some unknown reason, the man woke and says, what's going on? And the porter told him that you're going to the morgue, and he says, why? He says, the doctor says you're dead. And he says, listen to me, I'm not dead. Don't you see me talking to you? He says, yes, I can see that, but if the doctor says you're dead, and that's where I'm taking you. That's the way we must trust God. If God says something, then no matter what, we are going to believe him, because he is what? Faithful.
Yes, sir.
Look at the next principle that he has now given us about the faithfulness of God.
Who will not allow you.
Place your eyeball on God's word.
Who will not allow you.
Are you seeing that in your Bible?
Yeah.
Who will never
allow you
to be tempted beyond what you are able.
In other words, the King James Version says above what you are able. He says beyond what you are able. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Brethren, temptation are tailor-made.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Think in terms of going to the dressmaker or a tailor with a piece of material and they measure you. And they cut that material just to fit you and you alone and nobody else. God is the tailor.
Yeah.
He doesn't create the temptation, but he gives you the guarantee and the assurance that it will never ever rise above your ability. God takes your maturity into consideration. God takes your knowledge into consideration. God looks at the time that you're in the church and your growth and everything, and he cuts the temptation to fit you. And God says, Fabian, what you are going through, you can go through
it.
Isn't that right? These are they that have what come through great tribulation. Isn't that right? God says, Sister Mavis, whatever you are going through, it is not above your ability. So if we believe that with all our heart, why are so many Christians so unfaithful and uncommitted in the church? Something is wrong. We are not dealing with temptation effectively and properly. And that's the reason our lives are not as productive as it should be. God says it is never above your ability. Whatever you are going through, God says you can bear it. It doesn't matter what it is. Mortgage, foreclosure, husband running out on me, wife not behaving properly, children driving me up the wall. All that we got to do is to rely on the word of God, and God says, I can. And if God says, I can, because he's reliable, trustworthy, and can be taken at his word, I believe him.
Amen. Amen.
And so when the doors of the church are open, I will be there.
Yes, sir.
When it's time for me to pray, I may not feel like it, but God says, you can.
Amen.
When it's time to study my Bible, I will study my Bible. When I'm called upon to do evangelism, I will do evangelism because God says that I can.
Yes, sir.
There is another principle that we see in the verse, that not only temptation is a common experience, and not only that God is faithful, and not only that God will never allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but listen to what God says.
But with the temptation,
God has given you another assurance, brethren.
Amen.
He says, he will. It's a guarantee. It is an assurance. He will, with the temptation,
make the way of escape.
Make a way.
That's right.
I like that because I believe that with all my heart. God will make a way. He is the way maker. I try to illustrate this by saying you're going through the Amazon jungle and there is a leader, but the Amazon jungle is thick and populated, and the leader has his, you know, I'm not going to say like the Canadian or the American machete. No, machete. Cutlass.
That's right.
Isn't that right? Cutlass.
Yes, sir.
And he might chop. And he might follow me. I'll lead. And him a chop with him cutlass. And when he reach the opening, he says, Mr. Jump. Him there. Him gone. You see, the problem is many of us never stay with God long enough to see his working. While we are going through it, God is preparing a way. God is making the way. He's about to open a door for us. But by the time God opened the door, we are not there.
Yes, sir.
That is one of the reasons the Pentecostals and the Neo-Pentecostals and the charismatic group can talk so much about God. When you come to Church of Christ,
I'm going to get myself in that trouble now.
When it comes to Church of Christ, we don't have a testimony. We don't, because God, see, it seems God has done nothing for us. And so we don't have a foundation to say, God did this for me. He, in other words, and we give up too easy. God has given us the guarantee that he will make a way. And my favorite verse in all the Bible is in Exodus, when Israel had their emancipation from Egypt. And Pharaoh had a change of mind and decided to pursue Israel. And Israel came to the Red Sea and didn't know what to do. Pharaoh's army was behind them. And it seems like some of them gave up, saying, well, you brought me out here to die. You should have left us in Egypt. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of God. Moses didn't know what God was going to do.
That's right.
But he knew that God would make a way. Amen. Isn't that right? And sometimes God make a way in a way that we never expected that way.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
God, in other words, when I face trouble, and I face troubles many times in my life, I said to my wife, let us see how God is going to work this out. And sometimes the way God worked it out, I never expected that it would come that way. For God made a way for us, and he has given us the guarantee. But you see, we never stay long enough to see the way. That's why we don't have testimony. We can't testify. We can't talk about what God has done in our lives. And that's one of the reasons we are so dead and lifeless. Stay with God. Don't have time to give you a history as to when I first became a Christian. 1972. I had one pants, one black shirt, one white shirt, one black pants, and I wore that pants and the shirt that my mother said she was not a Christian then, but it looked too bad, don't go, you can't go, and I still kept on going. My feet lead in shoes, and I served communion for about 2 years, tried to do a little preaching here, there, and everywhere, until one day, Brother Mitchell called me in his office. You don't have nothing else to wear. he might forget. And he gave me money to buy a pants and a shirt. And from ever since, God has been blessing me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not trying to boast, but I came yesterday, I wore a blue suit. I came this morning, I wore a gray suit, a beige suit. I came tonight, I'm in a red suit. And if service was going on tomorrow night, I would be in a green suit. God is good, for God has made a way for me. Isn't that right? I can remember there were times in my life when I moved because I was having some problems. And I moved into a house, no bed, no stove, no television, but I still decided to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Mitchell again, he doesn't remember. Says, I'm paying for a bed at Courts. I can give it to you, but you must continue the payment. But if you miss one payment, I'm coming back for the bed. And we know that he was serious about that. Isn't that right? I'm just trying to show you that when you stay with God, God is going to find a way. Stand still and see. When you are in problems, you've got to be able to wait upon the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah chapter 40, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For it is the Lord that they wait upon. Are you with me? Are you with me? Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what is he going to do? Direct your path. Are you with me tonight? God says, I will make a way. Brethren, my encouragement to you tonight is to stay with God no matter what, and watch him make a way for you. For when you know God has done one thing in your life, He can do another. And he will do another. And he will do another. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
So in order to deal effectively with temptation, we must accept the fact that we're living in the real world. We must know what temptation is. We must understand that it is a common experience. We must realize that God is faithful. We must realize that temptation are tailor-made. We must realize that God has given us the guarantee that he will make a way for us. Amen. And then the thing he says in the last part of the verse, not only will he make a way, he says, so that
you may be able to bear it.
You may be able to bear it. I want to give you one more principle. All of this is just an excerpt from a series of lessons that I preached on the subject. But I'm not preaching tonight. I'm just talking to you. I'm just talking to you tonight. The last and final thing I want to give to you is that your attitude is very important. When we talk about attitude, we're talking about your outlook on life. We're talking about what you see and understand when you're going through temptations. Bear with me for a little while. This is important. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, count it all joy. When? You see, it's a matter of time before temptation comes. That's what the word when is telling you. It's a matter of time. But he tells you the attitude with which we must have. Count it all joy. James is not saying that you must be showing your 32 from ear to ear. That's not what James is saying. You will begin to see what James is saying. Count it all joy. You must regard it as a thing to be praised. You see, temptation was designed to be a blessing and not a curse. Count it all joy. But how can you be going through difficult times and be joyful? That's not possible. Jesus says, blessed are ye when men shall persecute you. Isn't that right? And revile you and say all manner of evil things against you for my name falsely. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecute they what? The prophets. I don't have time to tell you that when you're going through temptation, you're in good company. That's for another time. For so persecute they the prophet. So Jesus says, blessed. James says, count it all joy. The Apostle Paul jumps in as he deals with temptation in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3. Paul says this in Romans 5 and verse 3, knowing this, that we what? We glory. Do you see that? We glory in tribulation also. Do you see that? Place your eyeball on God's word and read it for yourself. James says, count it all joy. Jesus says, you're blessed. You must rejoice. Paul says, we glory in tribulation. Yes, the question is, how is that possible? How can I have that kind of joyful attitude? It is simple. If you know what temptation was designed to do for you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you know what it was designed to do, God didn't create it. He is not the cause of it. God allows it. But while you are going through it, God is working. Isn't that right? Go back to James and let us see something here, and then the lesson will be yours tonight. James, count.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials.
When you fall into various trials, read.
Knowing.
Knowing. Stop right there.
Yes, sir.
It is what you know.
Amen.
It is what you see. And it is what you understand that is happening to you. Let me try to illustrate this. Just give me a few minutes. If you were called and the call is legit and say that the U.S. Embassy has picked your name out of a draw, and you are awarded citizenship to the United States. But you must come Monday morning at 1 o'clock. No later. If you're a minute late, you have forfeited the deal. How would you feel? How would you feel? You would feel very excited. In fact, you wouldn't even sleep.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning, fixing your breakfast, and then a storm arose or arise. Wind begin to blow.
Yeah.
Roof are lifted off. Roads are inundated.
Yes, sir.
Can't move. Nobody can get in. Nobody can get out. How would you feel? Miserable, angry. I want for you to see it is what you see in the temptation that is going to determine your success.
Yes, sir.
It is what you understand. So when the rain starts and the roads are inundated, you get angry because green card, citizenship, United States of America. Okay, give you a different situation. You hold $5 million to the don of the area. A drug lord for my American friends. You know? And you can't pay it. And the time is expiring, and the drug lord says, I'm coming to your house tomorrow at 1 o'clock, the same time. And if you don't have my money, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your mother, I'm going to kill your father, I'm going to kill even the dog and the puss. I'm going to kill everyone. And you know that he's serious. Because he has done it many times. In the morning you wake up, can't sleep the night, just like for the visa. And you wake up the next morning, rain starts, the same rain. Wind blows.
Yes, sir.
roofs are torn off. Roads are inundated. Nobody in, nobody out for the next 6 months. How would you feel?
Yes, sir. Amen.
It is what you see and know that is going to determine your attitude.
Amen.
James says, count it all joy when what? You fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith
produces patience.
Patience. But let patience
have its perfect work.
Don't have time to get into all of what that means, but another time.
And
it's what you, in other words, and brethren, God is shaping and molding you as you go through the temptations.
Yes.
He's still working on me
to
make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But he's still working on me.
Amen.
In temptation, God is cutting away all those bad habits.
Yes, sir.
Those ungodly and unchristlike qualities that we have. And because I know this, I am going to go through like gold going through a fire. The fire was not designed to destroy the gold, but to purify the gold. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Peter says, talk about the purification of our faith, that it is like gold tried through fire. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3. Listen to what Paul says. Romans 5
and
verse number 3.
And not only that.
Paul says, not only that.
But we also glory in tribulation.
He says, we also glory in tribulation.
Knowing.
Look, he says the same thing. James says, it's what you know. Paul says, it's what you know. Read.
Knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance.
In other words, and brethren, I was not the way I am all the time.
Mm-hmm.
God has worked on me.
Amen.
And I've been through some tough time. And by the grace of God, I was able to come through it. And God has molded me into what I am. I'm still not what I ought to be. For Paul says in Philippians, I've not yet arrived. Yeah. Isn't that? But I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned. You see, it's what you see in the temptation. It's what you know. It is what you can visualize that is happening. And if you can see that God is working on you, some of us are liars. And sometimes God has to embarrass us so that, you know, so that we stop the lying.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes some of us are hypocrites. And God has to bring it out into the light so that we can see ourselves and make some changes. Sometimes we have so much undesirable quality. Some of us are not treating our wives right, our husbands right. And you could go through a host of other things. You know yourself. But listen to me. God is working.
Amen.
It is what you know. It is what you know. And therefore, when things go bad in my life, I say to myself, number one, I'm expecting it. When problems come into my life, I say to my wife, boy, it take long time to come, boy. I was expecting it, but it take a long time. Secondly, I know what temptation is, and I'm going to satisfy my needs the right way.
Amen.
Thirdly, I am going to realize that temptation is a common experience.
Yes.
Mine is not unique.
Right.
I'm going to realize that God is faithful.
Amen.
I'm going to realize that temptations are tailor-made, designed to fit me and to me alone, and God says you can bear it. I'm going to realize that, listen to me, God will find a way.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to realize that while problems and trial comes in my life, God allowed these things to make us better.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
That's the only way we are going to enter into the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
We have too many undesirable qualities. But I don't have time to go back to the book of James and to show you that temptation will be handled and handled effectively when we stay in our lane.
Yeah.
That's right.
I learned that from a Jamaican since I came. Stay in your lane, boy. Stay in your lane. That's right. You know, I've been away for so long. Every time I return, I hear new expressions. Stay in your lane. You see, James tells us that every man is tempted when he is drawn away. But we don't have time to get into some other principles. But if you keep these few principles in mind, your life can be productive. Your life can be victorious. Your life, our life, can be fruitful. And we can stand firm in Jesus Christ.